no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll start off this week with Gunsmoke, their episode from September 20th, 1952, titled Drop Dead. After that, we go to the beach with the Red Skelton Show, with his episode from April 16th, 1950.
Around Dark City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
River, Mr. Jackson. Dry as a bone. Our last hope of water for the herd.
Not quite, Pecos. Cottonwood Pond is just over the rise ahead of us.
Well, it may be dry, too. Bet they haven't had a rain on the prairie for 6 months.
It won't be dry. I've been bringing cattle up here to Dodge City for 12 years. Drought or no drought, the pond's always had water.
It better have. We're losing 15 head an hour now. We can't push them much farther.
There'll be water. With luck, if the railroad's got the cars for us, we can start loading this afternoon. By this time...
Hey, sounds like the boys up ahead run into something.
Yeah, come on. There's a pond, Pecos. Plenty of water.
Yeah, I guess you were right.
Wonder why the herd's piling up. They ought to be stampeding for that pond. You think you have to... Hold up, Pecos.
A barbed wire fence. Somebody's fenced off the pond. Mr. Jackson, it looks like we've got a fight on our hands.
I don't like it, Doc. It's too quiet. When things get too quiet in Dodge, it always means a blow-up's coming.
Just sit down, Matt. You're just getting yourself a case of nerves. Yeah. You've been a law officer too long. Shot at too many times. You're getting so you just act like a spooky old horse. You're jumpy and you're gun-shy. Hand me those forceps for you.
Oh, yeah. You mean this?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, you take me, Matt. I don't rant and rail against fate. I just sit back and take what comes.
Yeah, sure, Doc.
Mm-hmm. If I get a patient, fine. I steal him blind. And if I don't, well, I keep my hand in setting a broken leg on a dog. Yeah, that splint ought to hold him. Matter of fact, I could use a fee or two. Not planning to shoot anybody, are you, Matt?
Yeah, if this drought doesn't break, I'm in the mood to shoot myself.
Well, that's a bad one, all right. I don't think I've ever seen the prairie as dry as it is this year.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Dillon.
Well, come on in, Chester.
I've been looking all over for you. We've got trouble, Mr. Dillon.
Huh? Trouble?
Old man Howard just sent a rider in. A trail drive's pulled in from the Big Bend. They're threatening to cut his fences so they can water the cattle at Cottonwood Pond.
Well, here's your blow up, Matt. A real head-on smash. A thirsty herd against that skin Flint Howard. Bet I could get myself a few fees out of this before it's over.
Good old Doc, always hoping for the best, huh? Now, come on, Chester, let's ride out to Cottonwood.
Dyke Howard had no call to fence that pond, Mr. Dillon. There's enough water there for all the trail herds in the next 10 years.
That's on his ranch, Chester. He's got a right to fence his own range.
Got a right, maybe, but no decent rancher would take advantage of it. Howard's mean. Just downright mean.
I think it's more than that, Chester. It's the old business of making $2 grow where $1 grew before. I think Howard figured on something like this when he strung that fence last month, but the trouble is
that we... Look yonder, Mr. Dillon.
Huh?
Must be 50 or 60 riders facing each other across that fence.
Yeah.
Looks like a couple of armies.
Well, that wouldn't be the first range war that started over water rights. Come on.
Says so, mister.
I do.
Who are you?
Dillon, U.S. Marshal out of Dodge.
Marshal, that man and his gang are threatening to break through my fences and trespass on my property. I demand the protection of the law.
You'll get it, Howard. You're the owner of this herd?
That's right, Marshal. Jack Jackson from the Circle Z spread down in the Big Bend. Maybe you can make this fella see reason. I got a herd of cattle here that's dying like flies for lack of water. Over there, 100 yards, is plenty of water. Only a sneaking crook has fenced it in. How about it, Marshal?
Well, it's his land, Jackson. The law gives him the right to fence it.
Law? Right. Everything I got in the world's tied up in that herd. There's 25 trail riders there in the saddle I can't even pay wages to if I lose these cattle. Does the law uphold pushing a man against the wall and wiping him out?
It wasn't intended to. Howard, why don't you ride up here to the fence and talk, huh?
Sure, Marshal. No objections at all. It's my fence, ain't it?
Well, nobody's doubting it. Now, look, is there any reason why you can't get together with this man and let him take that herd in and water it?
I made him an offer. He turned
it down. An offer? $1 a head a day for water, or buy the herd himself for $3 a head?
Those are pretty stiff terms, Howard.
Better than losing everything like he's gonna do.
Why, you dirty...
All right, hold it, both of you! Now, look, if there's any gunslinging starts, I'm going to be in on it, too. You understand? Howard, I just don't understand you. Most people out here on the frontier stick together when trouble starts. They don't kick a man when he's down. And they don't look on a drought or a blizzard as a chance to make a personal cleaning.
Just a minute, Dillon. You call yourself the law, Dodge. All right. Does the law say I can fence in my own land?
It does.
And never mind your opinions, Marshal. All I want out of you is enforcement of the law.
All right, Howard, you'll get it. And that's all you'll get. Jackson, you better have your boys start the herd circling.
This mean you're backing him up, Marshal?
I'm backing up the law, that's all, Jackson.
Then I don't think much of your laws up here.
I only enforce them, I don't make them. Now, you better circle that herd.
I say you better. I'm ordering my boys to shoot the first man of steer that comes through that fence.
Chester, you cover Howard.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And if he orders any of his men to fire a shot, kill him.
Be a pleasure, Mr. Dillon.
What's the idea, Marshal?
You wanted the law enforced. All right, you're getting it. But I'm going to do the enforcing, Howard, not you. So if you're smart, you won't give any orders about shooting.
All right, Mr. Dillon, you got a tough job. I guess you're trying to do it fair and square.
Man does what he has to do, Jackson.
I know. It's like with me. That herd of mine beds down without water. Most of them won't get off the ground in the morning. So law or no law, we're going through that fence tonight.
Howard.
Matt.
Huh? Oh,
what's the matter? Bad liquor or a busted spirit?
Neither. How are you?
Eager. But you probably noticed that before. Seriously, though, what's wrong?
Plenty. One of the bloodiest little range wars you ever saw is just about to break.
Out of Cottonwood Pond, I heard about it.
Did you hear, too, that I'm back on the wrong side?
Here, pull a stool up to the bar. Harry, a drink for Mr. Dillon.
No, thanks. I can't stay, Kitty. I gotta try to round up some deputies, and try is probably about as far as I'm gonna get. Old Ton will be siding with the Texas boys against Howard. And against me.
Maybe you ought to switch sides, Matt.
Oh, sure, I ought to. I know, but I can't. If I started making my own rules, it'd mean the end of law and order in Dodge City. Yeah, I just can't do it, Kitty. Much as I'd like to.
Well, not for me to say. You're the one who has to decide.
Yeah, Chester. What'd you find out?
Mr. Hightower down at the railroad depot checked clear through to Topeka. They can't get enough cattle cars here to load that herd out before day after tomorrow.
Well, that's that. It's an outside chance anyway. Yeah, I just can't do it, Kitty. Much as I'd like to.
Well, not for me to say. You're the one who has to decide.
Yeah, Chester. What'd you find out?
Mr. Hightower down at the railroad depot checked clear through to Topeka. They can't get enough cattle cars here to load that herd out before day after tomorrow.
Well, that's that. It's an outside chance anyway. I thought we might load them up fast, Kitty, and run them up to Walnut Creek. It's still got a little water in it. But I...
Matt, there's something wrong with a law that upholds a low-down scheme like this.
Well, what Howard's doing is wrong morally, but it's right legally. I gotta find a legal way to stop him.
I bet a lawyer could find a way of some kind. Too bad this town doesn't have one.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Just the same, Matt.
Dillon?
Yeah, what is it?
My name's Fenton. I'm range boy.
Yeah, I know. You work for Dyke Howard. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Howard figures you ought to be arranging to protect his property.
Jackson gave me his word he'd lay off until 9 tonight.
His word, sure. But Mr. Howard figures it'd be a good idea if you deputize his riders.
Fenton, get up.
Wait a second, Martin.
Go on, get up. When I want Howard's advice, I'll ask for it. Now go tell him that.
Well, yeah, but...
Go on, get up. Move. His riders. Sure he'd like that.
Well, it just may come to that, Mr. Dillon. I couldn't get anybody else.
You know, I ought to throw this badge away and go out there and help Jackson cut that fence.
Matt, I still think what you ought to do...
Yeah, I know. I ought to get a lawyer.
Well...
Oh, Kitty, the only lawyer Dodge City ever saw was that young fellow from Boston who died here last year on his way...
What is it, Matt?
Chester, what happened to those books of his?
Well... Nobody never claimed them. They're still in the back of the jail there somewhere.
That's a long shot, but... Kitty, I love you.
Matt.
Come on, Chester, let's find those books. I don't know, Chester. Take a man a year just to learn what these words mean.
Well, I sure can't help you, Mr. Dillon. Looky there. Tort. Replevin. Statutory malfeasance. Why don't they write the laws out in English?
Be no work for lawyers. The only thing that might do it is this one. I'm not too sure what it means.
Evening, Matt.
Oh, Doc. Come on in here, will you?
I figured I'd bring you a little courage for the battle.
What?
Might be snakes out at Cottonwood Pond.
It's very thoughtful.
Yes, sir. Calomel and Irish whiskey. No doctor west of the Mississippi ought to be without them. The calomel's for the woman, you understand?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course, a bottle of Jameson might not cure a patient, but it sure makes him enjoy his illness.
Yeah. Look, Doc, you've been to school. At least I guess you have.
Oh, well, I browsed through a couple.
Well, listen to this now. Now, tell me what you think about this paragraph right here.
Well, let me see. A schedule of territorial ordinances and judicial precedents. Handbook for local administrators. Well, I didn't go to law school, man.
No, no, but you've read books and you know big words. Now, listen to this. The local administrator or other duly constituted authority in a territorial division is hereby empowered to declare a state of acute emergency in case of riot, rebellion, or any natural catastrophe which threatens the general welfare. Now, Doc, would you say I'm a duly constituted authority, huh?
Well, Dodge City, I guess you're about the only authority.
Yeah, now, would you say this drought we're having is a threat to the general welfare?
Well, I've never seen a worse one, but...
All right, now listen to this. Yeah? During the period of such emergency, the officer in charge is authorized to seize, confiscate, allocate, or otherwise administer critical materials and facilities in accordance with a common need and his own discretion.
All right, Matt. Water is a material.
Yeah?
And as far as keeping cattle alive is concerned, Cottonwood Pond is a facility.
That's all I wanted to know.
I don't see how it'll help you, though, Matt. Howard will never stand for it. You're still going to have a pitched battle on your hands.
Maybe so, Doc. But at least I'll be fighting in the way I want to fight. Well, come on, Chester, let's go. It's 8 o'clock.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first... You personally can help to make sure America has an impregnable fence against invaders along all its borders by volunteering as a ground observer to watch the skies for unidentified planes. Men and women from teenage up, write or phone your nearest civil defense center. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
It's dark now. Must be pushing 9 o'clock. Hope they don't jump the gun on us, Chester.
I figure Jackson will stick by his word, Mr. Dillon.
If Howard lets him.
You know, we might get a break in this drought if that storm comes this way.
No, I'd say it's only heat lightning. All thunder and no rain.
Well, if it goes on a few more weeks, this prairie will be dried right down to the nub.
All right. Hold it. Pull up them horses.
He's right there by the fence, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I see it.
Who's there? Well, speak up.
I usually answer bushwhackers with a six gun. This is your lucky night, Fenton.
Well, the marshal, I didn't know.
Where's your boss?
All right here, Dillon. About time you got here. That mob may try to rush the fence any minute now.
Not yet, Howard. I said 9 o'clock. You got 5 minutes yet.
Come on over here, Jackson. I want you to hear this, too.
I kind of wish you'd stayed out of it, Marshal. I'd rather not have fought against you.
Never mind. Mr. Howard, by the authority vested in me as a U.S. Marshal, and under the territorial laws and ordinances of the United States, I'm hereby declaring a state of acute emergency due to the drought.
What are you talking about, Dillon?
The U.S. Territorial Ordinance Schedule of 1858, Section 721C.
What are you trying to say?
Just this. For the duration of the emergency, I am taking charge of Cottonwood Pond in the name of the United States government. And I'm allocating use of it to Mr. Jackson here to water his herd. If you want to try to make a deal with him, you got 5 minutes before I cut the wire and open the fence.
I've never bought water before, but I'll give you 10 cents a head, Howard. How about it?
I'll see you dead first. And I'll be struck dead myself before I see one head of your stock onto my property. Dillon, I don't know what's behind this move. Maybe you've sold out, made a deal of your own.
Easy, Howard.
If not that, then you've lost your mind.
Your 5 minutes are running out now. What are you going to do?
Fight! What do you think I'm going to do?
Going to resist the law?
You call it the law? I don't. Dillon, I'm giving my boys orders to shoot any man who lays a hand on this fence. And that goes for you.
Listen to me, Howard.
You got a chance to do something that costs you nothing and means life or death to somebody else. And you're refusing to do it. Well, I'm sorry to see it that way. But in any case, this herd gets water.
Maybe they will.
All right, boys, you heard it. Keep that fence covered. If they want to fight, they'll get one.
Jackson, I guess I'm going to need some deputies.
Well, I got 25 men here, Marshal. They're yours if you want them.
All right, boys. Will you all raise your right hands? Do you swear to uphold the Constitution, ordinances, and bylaws of the United States to the best of your ability, so help you?
I do.
All right, you're all temporary deputy marshals acting under my orders. Now bunch the cattle in this way and start them through the fence as soon as I open the wire.
They won't need much starting, Marshal. They've been smelling that water for hours.
Now don't shoot unless you're fired on. If you are, protect yourselves and your herd. All right, let's go.
Hey, Cus! Keep those flankers closing them in toward the opening here. They crowd on that fence, they'll cut themselves to ribbons.
Right, boss. Over this way.
Chester, come here, man.
Yes?
You got the wire cutters?
Here you are, Mr. Dillon. You know, I think we got a fight on our hands.
Yeah, I guess. All right, keep me covered.
I'll watch the left over here.
All right, Mr. Jackson.
Well, there's one strand.
They're cutting the fence, Mr. Howard!
Let's stop them!
All right, fire at the flash, Chester.
Yes, sir. Oh, my gracious, I wish there was a moon.
There's one more strand.
I spotted him.
And here's the last one.
All right, boys, the fence is open. Bring them through!
Come on through, boys! Come on! Heads up, Chester. They won't give in this easy.
Yeah, you can hear them out there, but you can't see for the dust.
Yeah. Wind's coming up off that cloud. Well, come on. Let's try to find Howard. I'm going to take him in for attempted murder.
Last time I heard him, he was down along the fence here, Summers.
All right, boys! Fire the grass!
What the...
Look! Look at them torches, Mr. Dillon. They're setting fire in the grass.
Yeah. As dry as it is, they'll start the whole prairie blazing. Jackson! Get your herd through the fence. They're trying to stampede it.
It'll take more than fire to turn those cattle away from water.
I guess you're right. Look, send as many of your boys as you can to help me. We got to get that fire stopped and fast.
Winning or losing?
Well, if that backfire holds it, we're winning, Chester. Otherwise...
Couldn't have been a worse time. The prairie's dry as gunpowder.
Well, at least the herd's safe. They wouldn't leave that pond if the whole world caught fire.
Any orders for the boys, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, just have them keep working along the edge of the backfire, Pecos. Beat out any sparks that get across.
Huh? Right, Marshal, I got you.
Have you seen anything of the Howard gang?
Oh, not a sign. I guess they figured they'd done all they could.
Yeah, maybe.
Mr. Dillon, I'd swear a storm's gonna break. I can halfway smell the rain.
I don't know about that, Chester. But it's doing one thing that won't help us.
What do you mean?
Look, the wind's shifting. Starting to drive those flames across the backfire.
Well, if it catches air again, it'll get clear away from
us. Yeah, it sure will. Now, come on. Let's grab some of the boys and start working behind
us. Yes,
let's go, Dillon.
Well, Fenton, I figured you'd be halfway to the Mexican border by now.
Well, you figured wrong. You keep your hands still, both of you. One move and it's your last move.
That's about the way you planned it anyway, isn't it?
You wiped us out, Dillon. That backfire of yours took the ranch house and the barns. There's nothing for us to do now but drift. Only first I'm going to kill you.
Hit the dirt, Chester. Patton, drop the gun. You're under arrest.
I'll drop it, you dirt.
Dillon, I... Well, you warned him, Mr. Dillon.
That doesn't matter much now. Look, Chester.
Yes, sir. It's jumped the backfire. With that wind driving it, it'll burn the whole prairie from here clear to the river.
And Dodge City along with it. Not a way in the world of stopping it, either.
I heard the shot, Marshal.
You all right?
I'm sick at my stomach, that's all. Dodge City's going to burn, Jackson, and there's nothing we can do.
I sure didn't figure on this. I let him have the herd, gladly.
No, it's my fault. I should have jumped him first.
A man does what he has to, Marshal. I don't think that's your way.
Maybe my way's the wrong way. When it leads to burning 10,000 acres of prairie in a whole town, there must be something
wrong. Wait, Mr. Dillon.
What is it, Chester?
I told you I could smell it.
Smell what? What the devil is... Rain!
Yes, sir.
By heavens, it's starting to rain.
By heaven may be the right expression.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know it's the only thing that can save Dodge. Well, come on, Rain! Faster! Cut loose and rain, will you?
What you doing in, Mr. Dillon? Look at it. Beating down on that fire.
Rain. Chester, you know, out here on the frontier sometimes, when a thing like this happens, it makes you wonder if maybe... Well, I don't know. Come on, Chester, let's find our horse.
It's sure not letting up any, Mr. Dillon.
No. We're still quite a ways from town. Let's swing over along the bluff, Chester, and find a place to wait it out for a while, huh?
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Come on.
Well, it took a long time to break loose, but it's sure making up for luck. Wow! I never saw lightning this before.
Usually lets up once the rain starts. I guess it's just a freak storm anyway. What? Off your horse, Chester. Flat on the ground. Now.
I saw it flash, Mr. Dillon. It come from that lone cottonwood tree.
Yeah. It's a bad spot. He's got cover and we haven't. Well, I guess we found out what happened to Mr. Howard. All right, Howard. Come out with your hands up. You're under arrest.
Why don't you come and get it, Dillon?
I'm going to flip a shot at the tree, Chester. Roll away as soon as I fire.
Yes.
All right.
Smart, Dillon. But not smart enough.
That was close.
There's enough light for him to see. He's got all the odds. If he keeps it up, he'll get us sure.
Maybe we might just well rush him, Mr. Dillon. We haven't got much to lose.
It's an outside chance, Chester. And he's bound to get one of us.
Yeah, but this way it's both.
Yeah, I know. All right. We'll go in on the count of three. And out and move fast.
Yes, sir.
And good luck, Chester.
Same to you, Mr. Dillon.
All right. One, two, three.
Mr. Dillon, what happened?
It was lightning. It struck the tree. I think Howard's lying over there on the ground. Come on. Yeah. He's down, all right.
He said he'd be struck dead before he'd ever give in. Well, he was.
By heaven, I don't know. The second time tonight. You know, Chester, I think I'm going to change my ways.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell and Lou Krugman, with Joe Duvall, Barney Phillips, and Georgia Ellis. Parley Bear is Chester and Howard McNear is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Where there's crime afoot, look for gangbusters tonight.
I got another one. You want to hear another one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Sing a song of new tide, rinsing his past age. Tide the new discovery floats worst day blues away. T-I-D-E tide.
From Hollywood, Procter & Gamble's Tide, the largest selling worst day product in America, proudly presents the Red Skelton Program. With Red Skelton, David Rose's orchestra, our singing stars, the Four Knights, Lorene Tuttle, Pat McGee, and Dick Ryan, Martha Wentworth, and John Holbrook will be me, Rod O'Connor. And now here is Procter & Gamble's star buffoon and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's clown, Red Skelton.
I-D. Hey, Fred, turn that vacuum cleaner off till I finish my breakfast, will you? This is the third time you've vacuumed my Wheaties right out of the syrup here.
Well, have you finished eating us yet?
No, I haven't. And open up that bag and give me back my toast and orange juice. You know, you're really reckless the way you handle that vacuum. Yesterday you tried to vacuum the birdcage with it, and now we've got the only canary in the world with a bare midriff.
Well, I cleaned the cage with the vacuum again today.
Now, where's the canary?
I don't know, but we've got the only vacuum cleaner on the block that whistles while it works.
Oh, that's cute, that's cute.
No place for it here, but it's cute.
You know, this place is really dirty. I start cleaning my house, see, and I open up the vacuum cleaner, and there was so much dirt in it, I got an offer from Senator Johnson. Hey, did you hear about Senator Johnson? He was on an airplane, and he says, I think I'll throw a $20 bill out the window with my name on it, and some farmer will find it and make him happy. So the guy sitting next to him says, why don't you throw $21 bills out the window and make 20 people happy? The pilot says, why don't you jump out the window and make everybody happy? Uh-oh, lost $5.
Oh, Mr. Skelton.
Hey, how's your house cleaning coming?
Oh, Mr. Skelton, I've been working just like a little beaver.
Oh, I noticed your teeth were worn down around the edges.
He should have been born a comedian, really. Yeah.
You see, you can't embarrass people like that. Right? At least I was born. That's one. That's more we can say for you. We dug him out of the La Brea tar pit. You know?
Now, Mr. Skelton, you shouldn't talk so snide to your house boy.
Boy, get a load of the boy, will you? He used to be a babysitter for Cain and Abel.
Well, I've got to go back to my house cleaning.
Yeah, hey, have you been sweeping dirt under the rug again?
Why, certainly not. What made you say that?
Well, the rug is closer to the ceiling than it is to the floor. And yesterday, a dog came in and tried to bury a bone.
Yeah.
Ooh. I have nothing to finish that with, so carry on.
I'm sorry, I said. Look, I thought you were going to help me with the spring house cleaning.
Oh, is that what you thought?
I thought, yeah.
Well, I'll turn a page and see if I'm going to help you or not. I'll help you just as soon as I finish reading the morning paper. Is it here?
Yeah. Wait till you read about those new traffic signals on Wilshire Boulevard.
Oh?
Instead of stop and go, they say, ready, aim, hit him.
Now, right here I had a nice answer, but the censor took it out. Yeah. Hey, it says that there's millions of people going down to the beach. It's really nice down there, you know. Weather man says it's even going to be nicer today. I wonder if Rod O'Connor would like to go to the beach with me.
I sure would, Red.
You see, we're a little long, and we just cut out three pages.
Here, here. You promised you wouldn't ad-lib tonight, so read what's there.
Okay. Red, comma, parenthesis.
No.
As if though he's happy to see O'Connor, parenthesis.
Gee, it's good to see you, exclamation mark. I do exactly what they
tell me, you know.
Hiya, Fred.
Yeah.
No, I say, how do, Mr. Connor? Tell me, how's Mrs.?
Oh, she's burning up. Oh? I'm supposed to be home washing the windows.
Sneaked out, huh?
No, I fell out. Luckily, I was washing the downstairs window.
Yeah, sure is. You'd have fallen from that upstairs window, you'd have left a crater in the ground.
Fred, why are you always talking about how fat I am? I'm not fat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll never mention any more. What's that big tarpaulin rolled up in the back of your car there?
Those are my bathing trunks.
Well, lucky you don't wear the tops, old boy.
Well, come on, let's go to the beach. I'm just dying to take a dip in the ocean.
Oh, who, me?
At least I can swim. I say, at least I can swim and you can.
Well, there you are. See, I had something to say there, but it's gone now.
I'll refer to you as being fat again. Take you down to the beach and sell you for shade space.
Lucky you can swim, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, don't say that about me, you know. I just can't swim out here. It so happens that the stroke I use doesn't fit the water they've got out here.
Well, it's not what it says, but I'll have to do.
Mr. Skelton.
Hey, is there any way we can turn back the clock and start all over?
Yes. I've got your bathing trunks here for you.
Okay.
What a clever idea. Built-in water wings.
Yeah. Well, that's, sure, yeah. Hey, I better check and see if I've got everything here. Suntan oil, towel, portable radio, sunglasses, telescope.
Telescope?
Yeah, you see, I look through the wrong end, and it keeps the girls away from me.
I thought your physique did that.
Yeah?
Let's go down to the beach, huh?
All right, turn on the portable radio.
Yeah.
If we're going swimming in the ocean, we ought to find out about the tide.
Oh, yeah. I hope we don't miss John Holbrook's tide report. Turn on the radio.
For you youngsters who don't remember, you are listening to radio.
You want to bet?
That's television with your eyes closed. In a moment, we will bring you Sudsy John Holbrook with his tide reports. But first, here are the four knights backed up by David Rose and his orchestra, who in turn are backed up by James Petrillo, who backs up for nobody. Their song is Coming Home.
By and by and by, I'm gonna lay down this heavy load. No more whiskey, no more gin, I've got religion and I'm through with sin. No more poker, no more dice, I'm heaven bound and I'm free from vice. And oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home. Yes Lord, I'm coming, coming home. Oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home. I done laid my burden down, ready now for to wear my crown. Oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home.
Well, you play with Satan and you play with sin.
No use talking, Satan's bound to win.
The parson says it's a sin to dance.
I ain't never gonna take that chance. Cause, oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home. Yes, Lord, I'm coming, coming home.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home.
To glory call.
I done laid my burden down, ready now for to wear my crown. Oh Lord, I'm coming, coming home.
Wash day miracles are something you women have come to expect from Tide. But this latest Tide miracle has amazed even you. For Procter & Gamble's Tide now gets clothes dazzling clean without rinsing. How can that be? Well, Tide gets the dirt out of clothes and keeps it suspended in the wash water. When you wring out the water, the dirt goes too. You can take your clothes right from the wringer and hang them up fresh and white and clean. Yes, clean. It's already history the way Tide gets clothes clean with rinsing. Gets them cleaner than any other washing product known. Now try that same wonderful Tide without rinsing. And when you do and compare the results, I guarantee you'll be delighted. Your clothes will be amazingly fresh, clean, and white. Another pleasant result is the time and work you save. And remember, the Tide you pick up from your dealer's shelf today, in the same familiar package, gives you a dazzling clean wash without rinsing.
Tide is dirt out, T-I-D-E, Tide.
I thought they said it was going to be nice down here at the beach. It's so foggy I can't see a thing. Hey, we come to the ocean yet, Rod?
I don't know. Roll down the window and see.
Okay. Hey, we've overshot the beach. Back up. Woo!
Boy, that was close.
Yeah, I'll get that flounder out of my hat here, will you? Hey, too bad we didn't bring along a box of Tide. We could rinse out a few things.
Well, fog or no fog, I'm going swimming.
Yeah, look at this weather. And the weatherman said it was going to be balmy today. He must have been talking about himself. Look, it's so foggy down at the beach that the seagulls are hitchhiking. They've been grounded.
That's really thick.
Yeah.
A barracuda just swam over my head.
Your tongue's a little thick,
yes,
too, isn't it?
Hey, Red, help me get the towels and stuff out of the car.
Hmm?
Red.
Huh?
Hey, Red.
What?
Where are you?
Oh. Wait, I'll light a match and find out.
Well, stay right where you are. I'll try and feel my way over to you. Just fell in here. Is that you, Red? Red, is that you? Well, say something.
Let's not get nosy, Jack.
Willie Lumpum.
Let go of my ear.
What are you doing down here at the beach?
I work for the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce.
Really?
Well, not really. They think I am.
What's your job with the Chamber of Commerce?
I am a fog belittler. See, I hang around the beach when some wise guy comes up and starts popping off about the fog and saying how foggy it is. I have him investigated.
Well, you're going to have a lot of work on your hands today.
Right.
So foggy you can't see your nose in front of your face.
I can't see my hands in front of my face. You know why?
Why?
They're in my pocket. I can see my nose though, it lights up, you know. I've switched the coil now, of course. I believe the fog is lifting a little. I do believe it's lifting. Now it is lifting. You can see the smog now.
Well, I think I'll take a swim. How's the water?
Mm-hmm.
I said, how's the water?
Oh, I don't know. I always take mine straight.
I'm talking about the ocean. Haven't you been in yet today?
No, not today. They just let me out this morning.
What did they pick you up for this time?
Well, I was driving down Sunset Boulevard on the wrong side, and they get mad just because I'm on the wrong side.
Wrong side of the street?
The wrong side of the car. You see, the guy who was driving must have gotten out along the way somewhere. I looked around. I couldn't find the steering wheel. I thought somebody stole it. And do you know where it was?
No, where?
In the front seat.
Why do you act this way? Before you pull those crazy stunts, you might consider your wife.
I should have considered her before we got married. To avoid quite a tragedy, you know. They always say two can never keep as one. They're right. She's one. I'm nothing. She only married me to break me of my bad habits. She broke me, but I still got my bad habits.
Don't you love your wife, Willie?
Oh, yes. I love the ground she tramples me on. Only trouble we have is her mother, that my wife's mother. I should have known I was going to have trouble with her, because when I walked in, I said, I got two tickets for our honeymoon in Niagara Falls. And she says, two tickets? What's the matter, Willie boy? Aren't you going with it? Oh, that's just about all I can take. Just about all I can take. Just about all.
You mean your mother-in-law?
No, I am speaking about you. Now that the fog has lifted, I can see you much plainer, and you just don't look right. just don't look right. I said it before, I say it again, boy. You just don't look right. I'm going to crawl out here. I'll see you later, boy.
Hey, Willie, look out. There's a wave coming in.
What? Help! Help! I can't swim. I'm going down for the third time.
Open your eyes. You're laying on the beach.
Killjoy. Hey, Hob.
Yes?
Hey, come on. Let's go home. I'll never be able to get a tan down here.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Look who's coming down the beach.
Who?
Polly the Panhandler.
Oh, the Esther Williams of Valley Forge.
Why does she wear that old fur coat?
Oh, what do you mean? That's a plush mule. That's a real flea breeder. That coat is so old that the fleas are sending the moths relief packages.
Howdy, gents.
Yeah?
You boys ain't trying to cut in on my beachcombing, are you? I was here first.
Yeah, you were probably here before the Indian. Hey, have you picked up anything worthwhile on the beach?
Well, last summer I found a 10-carat diamond ring, but I returned it to its owner.
Oh?
How did you find the owner?
Well, he just jumped up when I tried to lift it off his finger.
Polly, how can you stoop to stealing?
Oh, I can't anymore. My back just won't take it.
You really slipped, haven't you?
No, I just look that way, cause my girdle's shot. I sure would like to take a swim, but I just ain't the bathing beauty type anymore.
No,
the years sure have loused up my figure. I tried on one of them French bathing suits, and I looked like the revolution broke out again.
Well, beauty isn't everything. In fact, with you, it's absolutely nothing. But we like you.
Oh, you should have seen me when I was a silent picture star.
Oh?
Yeah. Every time I went in the water, every lifeguard on the beach would try to rescue me. Now, when I go for a swim, they lay down bets to see who can harpoon me first.
Harpoon you. Yeah. There's a whale of a joke. Hey, what are you looking for?
Hey, you wouldn't happen to have a corkscrew on you, would you? I'd like to straighten the seams in my sweat socks.
No, no.
Polly, how come you never got married?
Oh, now, don't underestimate me, youngster. Only last night, a very distinguished man popped the question to me.
Oh?
Yeah, he said, guilty or not guilty?
Well, at least you're still being courted.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't so funny.
No?
Say, you wouldn't happen to have any sandpaper on you, would you?
Oh?
I'd like to remove my lipstick. This chemtone really stays on.
Well, you really like to rough it, don't you? Huh?
Yeah.
It's getting a little chilly, Polly. You better start for home.
No, no. I think I'll stick around and dig for a few clams.
Well, stop digging in my pocket. What's with you, anyhow?
Oh, now, don't get me wrong, Dimples. I was only checking in your wallet to see if Harry overlooked anything.
No, he didn't even overlook the lining this time.
Well, I guess I gotta start hitchhiking back to town.
Oh?
Yeah, this afternoon I'm getting a tryout as a bat girl with the Hollywood baseball team. Well, keep in touch, young
man. Goodbye, Polly. Goodbye, Polly.
Wonder what she looked like when she was a girl.
Probably like a little boy.
I got an idea.
What?
How about going over to the amusement pier and having some fun?
No, let's go over to the Kaminsky Dance Hall. Dave Rose and his orchestra is going to play Horace Staccato.
Thank you.
Tide gets clothes dazzling clean without rinsing. Now, that's a startling statement, but it is true, and you can prove it. Just wash your clothes with Procter & Gamble's Tide. Then, don't rinse. Just wring out your clothes. And, lady, they're ready for the line. That's because Tide gets the dirt out of your clothes and keeps it suspended in the wash water. Your wringer takes out both water and dirt. Your wash is fresh, white, clean. Now, you know that with rinsing, Tide gets your clothes cleaner than any other washing product known. And now, try that same wonderful Tide without rinsing. You'll be amazed. And you'll save time and work. So buy Tide. You'll find there's a new giant economy-sized package on your dealer's shelf. And remember, all the Tide on your dealer's shelf right now in the same familiar package will wash clothes dazzling clean without rinsing. So try Tide tomorrow.
Gee, coming to the pier, the amusement pier makes you feel like a kid again.
Yeah, well, stop sucking your thumb and read the lines right, will you? Hey, here's something I'd like to try. It's a little machine that you test your strength with your grip here.
Okay, I'll put a nickel in it for you.
Hey, thing only registers to 200. I better not squeeze it too hard. I might break it.
Well, go ahead. Grab the handle and start testing your grip.
Okay, watch this. One hand. Both hands. I think it's broken. It don't register.
Yes, it does. You've got it up almost to zero.
Thing's out of order.
Pardon me, gentlemen. Could I try this contraption?
It's busted, Grandma Moses. Why aren't you home painting little barns?
Just stand aside while I flex my muscles.
Yeah?
I've got to wake up my corpuscles.
Look, hey, I tell you, it's busted, lady. It won't even budge.
Well,
something out of your teeth or whatever?
I guess I'll have a try at it.
It only goes to 250 and she took it up to 275.
They don't call me the Lydia Pinkham kid for nothing. Now let's see, which way is the weightlifting concession?
Why, it's right over there.
Hey, Red.
Hey, you know I had an uncle once was a weightlifter?
Really?
Yeah, he used to go to a department store, lift something, never wait to pay for it. Well, sorry I said that.
Hey, Red, there's Junior and his mother over there tossing baseballs with milk bottles.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, I'm going over and say hello.
All right, now, come on, Junior. You've thrown enough baseballs.
No, no, I want to get your prize. I want to get me a Cupid doll.
But you don't get a Cupid doll. You didn't knock any of the bottles down.
Look, either I get a Cupid doll or I'm going into one of my hysterical acts, you know, Operation Betty Davis.
No. Now, come along.
No.
Yeah, kid, take a powder.
Look, if I had a powder, wise guy, I'd blow up this joint. Now, are you going to get me a Cupid doll? Or is you not going to get me a Cupid doll?
Not unless you can knock the milk bottles down.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll try it again.
It'll cost you a dime.
Oh, I don't have a dime. Brother, I'm flatter than this next joke coming up. None of my baby teeth have come out lately. Can I put it... Can I put it on the cuff? Could I put it on the cuff, throw the ball?
Junior, put that baseball down. Don't throw it!
Oh, he broke my Cupid doll.
Well, then hand over a milk bottle.
That'll cost you just $10, lady.
Oh, here's your $10. Come along, Junior. I'm taking you home.
No, I want to ride on the roller coaster.
No, absolutely not.
Look now, kiddo, either you let me ride on that roller coaster or else.
Or else what?
Or else this. Hurry, hurry, step right up. Place your bets with the only lady bookie on the pier.
Junior, now stop that. You're making a scene.
So what? So what? I might be discovered for television. This is lousy enough.
I'd like to get my hands on the mailman who delivered that lonely hearts letter from your father.
Yes.
Well, look who's here. Junior and his mother.
Well, all the nerve you got to come around here, blubber boy. What you trying to do? Put the fat lady in the sideshow out of business? You big oversized bubble.
Why did you call me an oversized bubble?
You know why.
Why?
I'm not going to tell you, because you know.
Oh, please.
If I try to tell you, you'll beat me to it.
No, I won't.
I called him the way I see him.
Really, Ron, I don't know what to do with Junior.
You don't?
No.
Were the oceans so handy?
You better watch out what you suggest around here. I'll tell my papa on you, and he can lick you, boy.
Sure. All right, Junior. You tell your dad I'll meet him in the alley tonight.
Yeah, well, could you make it tomorrow night? He's going to be busy licking me tonight. Hey, did you hear me popping your name on the radio last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you don't listen to police calls, huh?
Junior, your father's name has never been on the police call.
Oh, no, his name has been missing on the police radio so many times. You'd think he was their sponsor.
We better start for home. I don't want you to miss your afternoon whipping.
Yeah. Hmm? No, no, no. I'll be good. I'll be good. Besides, I want to go ride on the merry-go-round.
Well.
Oh, let him ride the merry-go-round, yeah. Marine.
Yeah, let him ride.
Give us a good excuse for riding.
Yeah, give us your excuse.
I'll get the ticket.
Get the ticket.
Now, let's hurry, Junior. The merry-go-round's about to start.
Okay.
Here, I'll take your hand.
Here, don't walk so fast. Don't walk so fast. I feel silly when my feet don't touch the ground, you know.
Well, we're all set. Now, let's grab a horse.
There's only two empty horses left.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, Junior, you just wait for Rod and me over there.
Yeah, kid, we'll wave to you every time we ride by.
There ought to be some way to outlaw growing up.
Oh,
stingy
here bum. We go, Junior.
Boy, this is fun. Wish you were here.
Yes, pretty hard to tell which is the horse. Well, here I am, all alone, unprotected again. I wonder if the world is aware of this fact. Oh, the guy that runs the merry-go-round has just left the control for smoke. I wonder what would happen if I moved the widow lever up just a little there. Well, there's only one way to find out. Oh, now it's going faster, boy. Well, I might as well give him the money's worth. I'll push it all the way out. Getting over them horses, boy. Look at them scatter. Look at them scatter.
Turn that thing off.
Hold on. Don't let it through you, kiddo.
Junior, slow it down.
Oh! Hey! Old Fatso bit the dust. That was a nice takeoff, Mummy, but your landing was pretty lousy.
You just wait until I get my hands on you.
Oh, boy, it looks like we're going to have another home evening at our house tonight. Everybody watching television warming their hands on me.
Thanks for being with us, and until next Sunday...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening, and thanks for buying more and more of the Wash Day Miracle Tide.
Tide is dirt out, T-I-D-E, Tide.
Now for beautiful natural softness, exciting natural sheen. Don't just wash your hair, condition it with New Dream.
It's here, a shampoo that conditions your hair to natural softness, natural sheen. It's New Dream Shampoo, now with beauty conditioner. No other shampoo has this new beauty conditioner. It's an exclusive cleansing agent found only in gentle New Dream.
Don't just wash your hair, condition it with New Dream.
New Dream Shampoo, now with beauty conditioner. Try it.
Join us again next Sunday for the Red Skelton Show. We wish to thank the readers of Radio Mirror Magazine for voting the Red Skelton Show the best comedy program of the year, as shown in the current issue. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This program is a copyrighted feature. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Gunsmoke, Red Skelton, past episodes of this show, all the others, and everything else Relic Radio at RelicRadio.com. Also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this show, would like to help support it, give that a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.